adding user self management, brokerage, federation to your infrastructure with KeyCloak. Well, KeyCloak has been mentioned now and then in a previous talk. It was great to hear. I'm Alexander Schwartz, or just Alex. I'm working at Red Hat for the KeyCloak project full-time, and I'm also a maintainer since last year. I've been using KeyCloak for several years. When I was a backer IT consultant, we were building applications. We were using it as an identity and access management solution. And back in the time, a lot of customers did not have KeyCloak, so well, we brought an application in there and a custom-built one. We put KeyCloak next to it to do the IAM stuff. And over time, then we built our applications, brought them to customers. They already had KeyCloak, so it was great. And well, 2 years ago, I joined Red Hat full-time working on KeyCloak. And what do I do at KeyCloak? I'm doing lots of performance testing, database stuff, also a bit of LDAP. And when I KeyCloak has so much to offer, and when I was reading the corporate presentations, this was then stating about federation, LDAP, and I thought, yeah, I could present you this slide today, and this is what I will do, presenting what's already existing in KeyCloak, and also some of the things that will arrive in the next version of KeyCloak, like the current version is 23, and the next version is KeyCloak 24, and you can already download the things that I show today in the nightly build of KeyCloak. Right, so, yeah, and the agenda that I brought for today is more like a journey that I saw customers going through when they entering the identity and access management space. It's like, day one is single sign-on is cool, right? I need only one password to access all my services, so that's where it all starts. Day two is, yeah, well, I need to get a bit more flexible because I have maybe one directory with users, maybe multiple directories of users that I want to integrate, lots of applications. And then day three, yeah, I want to eliminate the daily churn, like reset of passwords, user self-management, and that's especially where the things come in that we have in KeyCloak 24 around user self-registration and declarative user profiles, what we see there. So why is single sign-on cool? I said, well, users need to remember only one password. That's, yeah, and then they authenticate only once a day. In the morning, usually when they get to work, and then it's, depending on how you configure it, maybe, well, valid for 24 hours, for 10 hours, for 8 hours, that's the policy of a company, and then they can access all these applications over the day with the credentials they entered. And, well, usually a password might not be enough. So you have a second factor, you have one-time tokens, you may have maybe a mobile app that generates these small codes, you have FIDO keys, WebAuthn, all that stuff, and maybe some applications need it, other applications don't need it when you access them, maybe you want to re-authenticate during the day when you access a special application, so all those things come with KeyCloak. And well, not the last thing, but usually ends up in the middle. When you deploy KeyCloak to application to your organization, you want to theme the front end, right? It should look like at least the colors, maybe the logo of your organization. It's to make your users feel at home. It might seem like a small thing, but it really helps the acceptance of that in an organization. So I say, even if you're deploying a single application and need a identity and access management for it, it makes sense to deploy KeyCloak for that. Because you then don't need to reinvent it yourself, right? And doing user management right with all the bells and whistles is not a nice thing. So how does KeyCloak work in the end? Like, you have a user with maybe a mobile device, maybe with a regular device, and they log in with KeyCloak. So KeyCloak presents a login screen, does the handling of all the second factors that you come about with. And then the user sends from their browser a token to the services, in the cloud, wherever they are. And the application can then either check the token directly by inspecting the token's cryptographic signature and a timestamp, or it will send this token, for example, to KeyCloak to figure out who is that user. I want to retrieve some additional information. This is possible. You might also use that token, when you're integrating other authorization services that then return like OPA or something like this, where they come up with is this user allowed to access this service or not. So that's the basic setup. And KeyCloak, you can deploy it as a single container connected to a bunch of databases that you can choose from, be it Postgres, MySQL, Maria, Oracle, MSSQL Server. Usually, well, as an admin, you don't, or even as a developer, you don't have a choice. Like, usually an organization has chosen a database. They know well how to do backups, how to restore, how to operate them. So we give you a choice which database to connect to, and then you have KeyCloak either deployed as a single, whatever, binary container, or you deploy it using an operator with a high availability setup to the Kubernetes of your choice, to the bare metal of your choice. That's what you do. And, well, this is what users then usually see when you don't customize the login screen. It's a username and password, right? And once I log in, let's see if the demo gods are with me. So I'm logging in here. Maybe it's expired. Oh, it hasn't expired yet. So I get an admin screen here, so where I can set up clients. Basically, clients are applications, and have client scopes, users, groups. So all of this, and roles somewhere as well, right? It can configure all these in the web UI, and it will, in a very basic installation, will just store to be in the database of KeyCloak, and it will then take care of all that. So, yeah, that's a simple start. You have your application. Is it secured? Is it all working well? But then, yeah, you usually don't start in a green field. Unless that's very rare. So you need to become a bit more flexible in what you're doing and to integrate with all the existing stuff that's already in your organization. So for example, there might be one LDAP. There might be many LDAPs in your organization. I think it tends like whenever there's a merger, there might be other LDAPs joining, other user directories joining that you want to integrate with, and there's Kerberos. So people might be already authenticated on their machines, especially in corporate environments. There might be some SAML service around in your organization or external to it, but it only talks SAML, and your applications want to talk OpenID Connect. So it's great to put KeyCloak there in between. There might be also other OpenID Connect things, but then why would you put OpenID with KeyCloak in between? Yeah, well, KeyCloak can translate it to SAML. Or KeyCloak can also give the right tokens to the right application, because maybe this one application is on a special diet to require that or the other attributes in the right tokens, and KeyCloak can do that in the way this application is then finally working. You can also create your own extensions to KeyCloak. So for that, you need to familiarize yourself with a bit of Java, and then you can integrate custom stores. You might have, well, it's called legacy, usually for a good reason, because maybe they're old systems, the customers are known to those systems, they make money, you can't shut them off, and you want to integrate KeyCloak with those existing user stores. You can do that. You can then connect it to a database directly, call some REST services, wherever you get these information from, and make it work. And also, we might hear later today about SCIM integration. All that is then possible by adding extensions to KeyCloak on this area. So we use everything that is already there and integrate and connect with that. So that's very, I say, essential on your day two things when you say, yes, KeyCloak is cool, single sign-on works, but then you need to integrate with a lot of stuff. And yeah, KeyCloak hopefully makes that a lot simpler for you. All right, so that's some diagrams around that. So identity brokering, Kerberos, SAML, OpenID Connect, you can connect to those. And we can show that in the demo shortly. Well, the good thing about Kerberos is your user might not see KeyCloak at all. the user tries to access the application. The application wants to get an OpenID Connect token or some SAML token. It forwards the browser to KeyCloak. KeyCloak will negotiate with the browser that the user already logged in using Kerberos, and then will not even show the login screen, but forward directly to the application back with the right token so the user can continue. So the user will never see the login screen. So that's Kerberos. But on the other hand, if on that system the user is currently on, Kerberos is not configured correctly for whatever reason, it will fall back to a login screen, and you can use the regular credentials, and then what we see in a second, maybe use that credentials and verify these credentials against an LDAP. So it's, yeah, it's like Kerberos, but without the Kerberos, it works the same way with the same credentials in the end. We can get all these social logins integrated. So with those, then the user usually has login screen where they can pick the right social login provider they want to use to authenticate. It might not be the right thing for corporate environments, but it might be the right thing when you are integrating your public facing website with users coming around that they want to integrate. And federation, as I said, open LDAP is there, Active Directory, custom user stores. You can have none of those when you want to store things only in Kiklos database. You can have one of those, but you can actually have multiple of those as well. So I wish, or I hope for you, that you have a simple environment, but on the other side, you can't really choose when you are, I don't know, there's another merger coming around the corner. then you might have another directory to integrate. Or maybe a customer has some users they want to bring there and you want to integrate those as well. So yeah, looking at the demo, so you can identity providers, that would be OpenID Connect, all the social logins that you want to integrate with here. They're here, either custom or predefined with some defaults, or some sensible defaults. User federation, I already configured LDAP here. So LDAP telling you, okay, this is, I'm running some Apache directory server here locally on my machine because it was simple to set up. The usual LDAP, I would say. You can choose if it's read-only, writable, or synchronized. All these things are here, and then, not all LDAPs are the same. They need some special configurations in here. And you can configure it that it matches your organization. There's usually also some mappers, so there are lots of attributes in LDAP that you want to leverage, either to put them into the tokens that you want to pass on to your applications, or that you want to leverage in the user info endpoint, where the application can then query those if you don't want to put them in the token. So all these things can be configured here, mapped on a per realm, per LDAP connection in the way you need it to work. Eventually, you can also configure it on which application should get what kind of attribute and what kind of token. Yeah, but then it's the real world catching up on this. The simpler you can make your setup, the better you'll be off. But on the other hand, you need to make it working with the things you have. And we are hoping that we got Keycloak in a way that it's not standing in your way. Let's go on to day three, eliminated churn. So all these repetitive tasks that you have to do every day when it comes to users, they're, annoying for admins and also annoying for users. Ideally, they want to do these things themselves. They don't want to be bound to some opening hours of IT or... So some things... I've shown a minute as users required actions to basically, you can as an admin choose, as an admin, you might have sent out an email, please enable second factor. And you send out another email saying, please finally enable second factor for login. And then you say, now's the time I go through maybe all of my users or some of my users. Let's, on the next login, they must enable the second factor no matter what. So you can do that as an admin and you're done, because no one will enter your system without a second factor enabled. Also, password recovery, you can add a link to the login screen, we will do in a second, that you can do password recovery, that you send out an email, user can click on a link, and it works with an internal database of Keycloak, but it will also work when the user is on an LDAP. It would also work when the user is on an Active Directory. Also, this kind of bits work when you're using the password recovery mechanisms of KeyCloak. Also, well, in a corporate environment, you might not want to self-register for people, right? So they probably need to sign a paper contract first. But then on the internet, on the public-facing side, you want people to self-register. Again, this is something that comes with KeyCloak. Also, once you're registered, you want to maintain the data yourself as a user, maybe update your mailing address, your blog, your social handles, whatever. All these things should be managed by the user themselves, and KeyCloak allows you to do that. And this is something that greatly improved over the last releases. In KeyCloak 23, you can enable it as a preview feature, and we're pretty sure that we will have that in the final release of KeyCloak 24, enabled by default, so that you can really use that in a very good and configurable way. So yeah, and it's great to resolve the need for either phone calls or tickets or chats nowadays, right? So let's go back to these required actions. So there are lots of them. Let's maybe have a look here. So in authentication, for each realm, I can really decide what I want people to be required when they log in or to be checked when they log in. For example, one-time passwords. Maybe you want to have them confirm the terms and conditions. I need updating the password, update profile, verify email address that we send out an email with a link. People can click on it. So that's for public-facing registration, very useful. Web Authn, yeah, it's in there. People should be able to choose their locale. We want to verify them, the profile, and I can enable those. I maybe also have maybe some policies, when and why. And then on the Realm settings, this is basically the tab called Login, which configures the login screen, and I say, okay, from now on, user registration should be enabled, right? For good password flow, yeah, I want to have a link there where I want to allow that people can reset their passwords. And once I do this, I can just, when I sign out here now these fields have appeared. So forgot password link is here, and I'm asked for my username and email address. And I have a register button where I can register with some fields that are here required. And if I then log in again and we go for the user profile, yeah, there we are. So this is the configuration where I can say these are the fields that exist, that should exist for both the admin to be edited in the admin UI. These are the fields that should exist on the user self-registration form, and those are also the fields that are available for user self-management. So basically you can think of this as a form configurator, and for each of these fields I can go in and say, okay, this is the name to be, there's an attribute name, like a technical name, I can reference it by later. A display name, well, this is an automatically localized name here, but you can put a simple name in here as well. I have attribute groups here, so I can group things on the form. For each field, I can decide who can edit this, either a user or an admin, who can view this, either the user or the admin. And then can put lots of validations on top of each field about the length. For the username, it's the minimum length of 3, the maximum length of 255 characters for a username. There are some prohibited characters, so you should use regular keyboard characters for that. We also don't want to have any homographs in here, basically letters looking like real letters from a Latin alphabet, for example, but they're actually from a very different alphabet. So you could have like a user registering with a username that looks like an already existing username, and it might lead to confusion, so that's a really sensible, good security by default. So, and I can add more things here. I can also add annotation and saying how should this element be formatted? Should it be an input type? Should it be a helper below and below the input size, the columns? I can also reorder those. So it's basically a form builder, and the form builder will be consistent in all three places: user self-registration, user admin form, and or admin form for users, and user self-management. Right. So when I go here, for example, a blog. So I can change it here with a different display name. And once I go to, let's do it as an admin, to manage my own account, then I would see here, okay, now it's renamed in another field here. And I can then choose when is this shown. Is it shown? Is it mandatory on first login? Is it maybe mandatory once a month? Like it can have maybe a scheduled process that inserts that actions on each login once a month. Yeah, all these things are then how I configure my login flow and have this information populated by my users. Yeah. So yeah, we saw that. We saw that as well, right? We have this recovery. We have seen the configuration, how we can configure those with validations and attributes and all this, all the necessary information. And again, the three areas where you have the admin view on the left, in the middle the registration screen, and on the right the personal information the users can self-manage. And all this information is either stored in Keycloak's local database, or if you then choose to store it in an external service like LDAP, it will be stored in the external service of LDAP. Right, so that's basically almost the end. So while we saw day one, single sign-on is cool, and it makes a lot of sense to not reinvent identity and access management even for a single application. Day two is you want to get more flexible and integrate with a lot of existing security infrastructure in your organization once you're a happy user of Keycloak. And then day three, it allows you a lot of automation around users when you really want to scale, especially if you want to scale with lots of users signing up on the internet. And if they want to manage their stuff on their own and you don't want to get calls from them or emails and stuff. So I brought some links. So this is the Keycloak homepage. Please pay it a visit. We have some docs on there, how to install it. The Keycloak nightly release, I linked it directly, so and if you go there, you can download the zip file and extract it, but there's also a Docker registry on KIO that you can have a container build ready for that with a nightly release. If you're on GitHub, please give us a store. There's the Keycloak book, second edition, that's been published last year, so if you've been using Keycloak maybe 2 or 3 years ago, you might know that this was based on EAP and Wildfly. It was now moved to Quarkus, so some of the things changed, so it might be good to look at this second edition. Something that is my very personal goals, I want to start a Keycloak Hour of Code, so to get more people into contributing. So I'm planning for maybe once a month, maybe every 2 weeks, having an online session to get people familiarized with coding, how do we code in Keycloak. How do you maybe contribute documentation? How do things work around Keycloak? And at some point, we also want to bring in community to also review issues, helping with triaging those, helping if another community member creates a pull request, maybe also the community joins in and helps to get that to a maturity level that we can merge it in. So that would get some weight from the shoulders of the maintainers. That would be great. So that's my thing for this year I want to try out. Yeah, so that's me. So I'm around for the rest of the day. So meet me here, meet me in the hallway. I also have some stickers of Keycloak, some postcards if you want to sell Keycloak to your managers or friends or colleagues. So send them a Fosdem postcard with Keycloak on it. Thank you very much. All right, we might have like two questions or something. Yeah.
What is the best way to configure Keycloak in Clarity? What is the best way to configure Keycloak declaratively?
Okay, so what is the best way to configure Keycloak declaratively? So usually you want to use the UI to figure out what's there and how it works. And then you can, one way is to maybe export the full realm as a JSON and then re-import it. So that's like the full export, full import. There's also the chance that there's Terraform, hopefully OpenTofu compatible Keycloak provision mechanism as well. And there's a REST interface. So you might use a REST interface to use this API to configure it. And there's a command line interface as well. But the command line interface is basically a wrapper around the REST interface. so that you can configure different settings of a given client, or maybe overwrite a client with a new config, that kind of way. But it then depends on how you want to do things. If you have the chance to, I don't know, delete it and re-import it, might be very helpful for test environments. Or if you're more bound to incremental, like, database schema migration style of things, that you really want to think like one step at a time and always in that order, and maybe OpenTofu would take some shortcuts that might not work, but you want to have maybe some migration. So it's depending on what you want to do, but it's, the good news is it's all automatable.
Just one question, how Keycloak can be beneficial in Linux ecosystem?
So how can Keycloak be beneficial in a Linux ecosystem? So, the, like, if you then logging into, you say, with this SSH somewhere, or I haven't seen it this way, but it kind of connects very well if you have, like, for example, Kerberos around. So, if you have Kerberos, I have it on my machine as well. When I'm in a corporate environment, that Keycloak can leverage that. Okay. Okay. Maybe then.
Not yeah,
okay, to repeat it for the video, so there was a talk on 2023 on FOSDEM on passwordless authentication on Linux here at FOSDEM. Right. Okay.
One note, there's a Red Hat SSO Ansible collection.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, so there's also Red Hat SSO Ansible collection that allows you to configure Keycloak. Right, yeah, that, the old name, well, Keycloak is the upstream project, it's a CNCF project. There's also Red Hat SSO, like the thing that you get with a subscription from Red Hat, where you find tools that work with that as well. And from end of last year, there's no longer Red Hat SSO, but Red Hat build of Keycloak, so it's going to be easier to find in the future. So whenever you search for something for Keycloak, it will be both the upstream project and that what Red Hat offers for a subscription. Okay, I think this time is up. Thank you very much.